And my electronics are failing me this morning. All right, we're back. Today our nation mourns the loss of all Americans who died defending our country. That's what Memorial Day weekend is all about. And doing so since, say, what, 1775. This remembrance is all-inclusive, spanning 250 years and some 62 or so or more military actions. 62. I mean, we don't think of it in terms of that number. We think of the major ones, right? But 62 military actions that have claimed 1.2 million lives. Most Americans are familiar with the major wars like World War I and World War II and the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812 and maybe the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, the Vietnam War, Persian Gulf, Iraq, and Afghanistan. But few think of the many others that were killed in lesser-known engagements. Examples of the lesser-known engagements like the Franco-American Naval War in 1798 to Grenada to the tragedy of the USS Cole in 2000. No American death is too insignificant not to remember when that life was lost at the behest of society. GIs do not get to choose when or where they serve. They don't get to choose what foreign policy they must enforce. The death of a sailor in the Persian Gulf is every bit as important as the one killed in the Pacific during World War II. And all distinctions at that point are irrelevant. These men and women have remained mostly anonymous, except to the families who've loved them. Who were they? They were relatives. They are friends. They are neighbors, melded together to perform a service of an entire society. They came from all walks of life and from all religions of our country, and nevertheless, they had one thing in common, the love and loyalty to country. They were the nation's defenders. Memorial Day, America commemorates these who made the greatest sacrifice possible, giving one's life selflessly. Far too often, the nation as a whole takes for granted these freedoms that we have, these freedoms that we enjoy, freedoms paid for by the lives of others, a few of us actually even knew. Today, we collectively remember each one of them and for all that they gave. Our text this morning, or our title this morning, is Sacrificial Love. And our text comes from John chapter 15 and verse 13. I'll be reading some other texts, but basically this is the main text. One short verse. And it says this: greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. No greater sacrifice than to lay your life down for your friend. There's some principles that I want to talk about this morning based on that text. And the first one is this: the sacrificial love of the United States soldier, sailor, and air service personnel. When anyone who enlists in any branch of the military, any branch of the armed forces, they repeat the following oath. It starts off, I and their name do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to regulations and the uniform code of the military justice. So help me God. These men and women volunteer to leave their homes. They volunteer to leave their families to protect the treasures that you and I are the freedoms that we treasure, the freedoms that we enjoy, our freedoms of religion, our freedoms of speech, our freedoms to write and bear arms, and many, many more are defended and protected by our military. former Senator Fred Thompson once said, "This wouldn't be the land of the free if it were not the home of the brave." If it wasn't the home of the brave, it would never be the land of the free. So I believe that it is good and proper for us to thank God for them men and women who have sacrificially loved each of us through their military service. The second thing, though, is the sacrificial love of the average American. Now, we look around and we see a lot of evil, but there is still a lot of sacrificial love in the average American. Take, for example, January of 2014 in Moore, Oklahoma. The tornado is a great example of the sacrificial love of the average American. And there are many, many more, but I'm just using this one in particular. Fred Rogers said concerning tragedies, "When I was a young boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would always say to me, 'Look for the helpers. Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are willing to help. Do not focus on the devastation, but focus on those who are sacrificing themselves in order to help." The courage shown by teachers in the schools during that tornado in Moore, Oklahoma is inspiring. Second grade teacher Tammy Glasgow got her children into the bathrooms in a closet before taking shelter for herself. Winnell Mays, a first grade teacher, distracted her students with songs and games while the tornado was ravaging to bring them comfort, to bring them some sort of peace. Suzanne Haley was impaled by the leg of a desk while she was protecting her classroom, the children in her classroom. Another teacher, Cindy Lowe, had a wall fall on her back, causing her to suffer a concussion. Her taking the hit saved the lives of her children in her care that day. These brave teachers and others risked their own lives to protect the lives of students under their care and demonstrated sacrificial love. Earlier this week, we had teachers doing the very same thing in Texas. And I'm sure there's going to be more stories that come out of that as time goes on. Making sacrifices against pure evil as a form of sacrificial love. These teachers were not military soldiers. They weren't trained for those moments. They weren't trained for battle. They were average Americans showing courage and sacrificial love. We Americans are brave and oftentimes selfless people, even in the midst of evil. There are selfless Americans who are brave in giving sacrificially. But if we're going to talk about sacrificial love, we can't possibly talk about our military, and we can't talk about our average American if we don't talk about the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. Look again at our verse this morning. Greater love has no man than this, or has no one than this, that he would lay his life down for his friends. We've seen two examples of sacrificial love of military and of the average American. And now we reflect on the greatest love or greatest act of sacrificial love provided by God on our behalf. Jesus laid down his life for his friends and sacrificed himself for each one of us. Jesus led a life of sacrifice. In John 1:14, it tells us that the Word became flesh and that it dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as for the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In Philippians 2:7-8, Paul wrote these words, that God the Son emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This love is sacrificial. This love is undeserved. Paul writes later in Romans chapter 5, 7, 8, for one who will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, would one even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 1:18 says this, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like the Lamb without blemish or spot. The greatest act of sacrificial love was when Jesus willingly sacrificed his life to free us from the bondage of sin, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, so that we can live in freedom. Jesus laid his life down for you, and Jesus calls you friend. Consider that for a moment, we who are Christians and friends with the Creator of this world. Friends with the Creator of this world. He calls us friends. Jesus said in John 15:15, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus calls us friends because everything that he's been told by the Father, he has shared with us. Jesus has laid down his life for us, and he calls us friends. So what do we do with that? How do we apply all this to our lives? We rightly honor those who sacrifice themselves for friends and for their country. The greatest gift ever made was God by God himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. We read that in the golden text of the Bible in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Indeed, God did send his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Quite obviously, God is a giving God. God is a loving God. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. How marvelous indeed are his expressions to each one of us. Normally, in human terms, when we receive a little gift from some friend or loved one at Christmas or on a birthday, we like to show our appreciation, right? Somebody gives you a gift, you say thank you. You appreciate it. However, so glorious indeed are God's mercies that we overflow with thanksgiving and join the psalmist in our text asking, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? What shall we render upon the Lord for all of his benefits? Change that word for all of his blessings. Our blessings from God are so numerous. They are so numerous and they are so rich that we are made to testify as the Apostle Paul in Romans 11:33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. What we can give God is little. What we can offer God is so small. It's so very small when you consider what he has given us. Nevertheless, we must not fail in presenting our gifts to Christ, no matter how small they may be in comparison to what he's done for us. We need to continually present our gifts to Christ. Let us now consider four gifts that we can render unto him. So you want to know the application we need to give to God, and these are the four things. Our love. Our love. Even in human terms, love is the greatest of gifts. More words are written on love. More stories are told about love. More people are inspired by love than any other subject in human language. It is the constant theme in novels. It's the constant theme in TV dramas. And it's the constant theme in human aspirations. Love. It is surely significant that Paul lists love as the first manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But love is number one. Important as well is the fact that love is twofold. Reaching first toward God, and then reaching second towards neighbors. Our love is lifted up towards God, and our love is sent out to our neighbors. When asked of a lawyer, Matthew 22:36-37, said this, "Which is the greatest commandment?" Jesus answered, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment." But then he went on to say, "But the second is related. Thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself." Our love needs to extend up towards God, and our love needs to extend out towards our neighbors. Adam Clark puts it perfectly when he says this, "Our Lord shows us that the whole of the true religion is comprised of us loving God and our neighbor." Think about that. If we did nothing else but love God and love people, love our neighbors, all gifts are worthless and unacceptable unless they are accompanied by and given from a heart of love. True love has no limitations. It has no boundaries. It cannot be purchased. It is always freely given. No wonder the scripture places so much emphasis on our love for God. So we need to give our love. But what else do we need to give? We need to give of ourselves. Along with our love, in fact, in full confirmation of our love, we must give ourselves as a vessel for his use. Paul writes in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice." As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. In light of all his great gifts to us, how can we do anything less? How can we do anything less? Paul faced this question, adding the observation that such is our reasonable service. It's our reasonable service. When a young man or young woman enters the army, he or she is trained and schooled in the hardships of military life. He or she holds none of his strength in reserve. He or she gives all. Our spiritual commander, Jesus Christ, calls us today for those who will bring all their powers into subjection and to serve without reservation in the army of the Lord. That we are called to serve without reservation in the army of the Lord. There has never been a time in history when the cause of righteousness needed consecrated people more than it does today. 2 Chronicles 38 says this, "Let us yield ourselves unto the Lord." What a better gift to bring to Christ than the yielding of our total selves to his will. And saying with the apostle Paul, as he wrote in Acts 20:24, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, unless he is the Lord of all, he is not the Lord at all." Did you catch that? unless he is the Lord of all, he is not the Lord at all. Thus we offer ourselves a gift unto Christ. We give our life, or our love. We give of ourselves, and we have to give our loyalty. The wise men who saw Christ star upon the occasion of his birth present a lesson in loyalty that is worthy to note. Not only did they pursue their journey with diligence and do so against all odds, but they refused the bribes of an earthly king. Their loyalty was firmly anchored in God himself. Others were unseen. Others refused to believe. But wise men grasped a promise. They clung to God's word. They will never find him or serve him if we do not believe his word. We will never find him or serve him if we do not believe his word. The wise men were not satisfied just to find him and leave. They recognized his divinity, and they worshiped him reverently, whom even angels bow before. This is what it says in Hebrews 16, let all the angels of God worship him, and of whom David wrote in Psalm 29:2, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What is more, they verified their love and their worship through the presentation of gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Some of earth's most valuable treasures are what they presented unto the Lord. They gave to Christ their very best. And we must do nothing less. Christ must be first in our life. And then we have to give him our talents. In one form or another, we have each been given a special and unique talent. Our talents are not the same. The talent that you've been given is different than what I've been given. They're different. They may not be equal in number or variety, but they are gifts or graces from the Creator, and we must consecrate them to God. When Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was a young man, he expressed himself in a letter to his father, I'm not sure as yet for what my talent fits me, but I am determined to be eminent in something. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I'm determined what it is, I will be eminent in it. I truly believe with all my heart that God has endowed each one of us with the capacity, with the potential, with the talent to become eminent in something. That eminence may not appear to men and women of this world, but it will certainly register on God's perfect scale of values. The beautiful thing about giving is that we have our talents to God is seen in that they then become under his leading and under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian soon discovers himself in the power of Christ, doing more and becoming more than he is personally capable of doing or becoming. Paul wrote to his young Timothy, his son in the Lord, in 4:14, neglect not the gift that is in him. Nor must we neglect our gifts. We must use them selflessly. Life is more than earthly existence, friends. More than that which is presently seen. It is also laying up for treasures in heaven. Laying up treasures in heaven. If we use our talents for his glory, we will hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you the ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Isn't that a day that we all long for? Let me just close with this. Because our country's armed forces have been willing to give the last full measure, we are able to meet together and say, Acts 17:28, in Him we live and move and have our being. I say that again. In Him we live. In Him we move. And in Him we have our being. Let's pray. Lord, on this day we do give you thanks for our military men and women who have given sacrificially to the fullest measure. Lord, on this day, we are thankful for the average American who has sacrificially given to the fullest measure. But Lord, on this day, we are most importantly thankful to a loving God who gave to the fullest measure in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that in response that we would give our love, that we would give ourselves, that we would give our loyalty, and that we would give our talents back to the God who loved us first. Lord, remind us this day that we need to love you first, and then we need to love others. And in doing so, Lord, we are laying up treasures in heaven so that on the day that we meet you, we hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Now come and live in the house of the Lord forever." Amen.
Amen. Are you in His army?